back, guys. DGS on KMOX. 307, the Electric Wiggins is here from down the hall.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too, always.
Okay, I'm going to start with the thing about you. So Wiggins used to be on the show, and he was just full of beans, and he would tell these stories, and one of your classic stories, I believe I have modified in my mind. So I'm going to tell you the story, and then you tell me what really happened.
Okay. Hopefully any of this is real.
Yeah. You had told a story about trying to buy a guy's vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
On Craigslist.
That's the story that got me the job.
Yes. And in my mind, what happened was you showed up at the guy's house, and he was sort of creepily hiding behind a couch. And you finally said, like, is there a problem? And in my mind, he stepped out and had wet his pants.
No. That's okay. You're not really far off.
Okay.
But you are missing key
details. Did I make
it
a better story?
No.
Okay.
No. It's, I mean, if the guy had peed himself, I guess that's a whole another chapter in the story. But he didn't pee himself. So he was he had this nice canister vacuum right there at his very nice house in St. Peter's. And it was right in the foyer, and I walked in, and it was all laid out like it was like a Macy's. And I'm like, well, this is great. And he only wanted $60 for it or whatever. But he was standing real far away. It was a big open concept room, living room, and the couch was in the middle facing the TV, which was facing away. And he was standing behind it, just kind of fidgeting. And
Can I ask a question? How did you get into the home?
I think I knocked and I heard come in or something like that.
Okay.
I don't think it was anything weird.
I didn't know if he had like let you in.
You don't think
in.
You just crept in yourself?
I don't think I came in the back door. I think this might be the right
Hello?
House.
Yeah, that would make more sense why he was fidgeting.
He's back in there like, hey, whoa.
Turns out here, buddy.
Turns out the vacuum wasn't even for sale.
Right.
I'm the guy from Facebook.
just take it and go, man.
You do what you need to do, man. But no, he was standing there and fidgeting, and I thought, this is kind of weird. And I had all the things, and he was fidgeting with his belt. So I knew something's happening here, but I don't know what it is. And I couldn't
about
quite
to get that vacuum a lot cheaper.
I had maybe 75% of it in my arms. I couldn't get the whole load with all the accessories and everything. And I was walking out to my car, and I'm a little slow on the uptake. But as I was at my car thinking about what I had just seen, I'm like, I think there's a chance that I'm going to go back in that house and that man is going to be fully naked and doing some things to himself and making me watch. But
I love that you had resigned. You had resigned yourself.
Making you. I guess I got to watch this.
Well, I got to get that charging adapter.
Whatever's on TV, you know?
I did need the rest of the accessories. This was for my wife, which is a whole nother like weird joke to say that I was buying my wife a vacuum for her birthday, but I was.
And so, a used vacuum.
A used vacuum, that's right.
From a naked guy.
Well, we were poor. Oh, St. Peter's, this must be a nice vacuum. So I think what I'm going to do is, he was far enough away from the door that even if I go back in and he is doing that, I could probably grab those things, give a quick thank you.
Yeah, just
drop
pretend
the money.
It's not happening.
Yeah, and then just say, enjoy your day, and I'll be out of here. And I
enjoy your day. Yeah.
So I did. So I walked back up, and I opened that door thinking, let's see what this is. Tried not to look up, but then he was standing a lot closer, but he was still clothed.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, this is going okay then. And he goes, and I'm trying to like kind of talk, like be nice. Like, I don't really know what your deal is, but I'm slowly conversing with him. Oh, you're at home in the middle of the day. Do you work from home? You know, that kind of thing. And he was trying to get me out of there so bad. And I didn't know it. And he finally said, look, just you can have it for 40. And I'm like, done. Here's $40. And then he just said, look, I'm sorry that I'm trying. I'm sorry. I'm being so weird. But I didn't know. You never know who's going to come into your house. You never. And he was been saying that last time I came into. You never know who's going to come into your house. So he was nervous. And he finally said, he moved his hands from his belt. And I saw that he had, here's where your wedding thing came in. He had strips of wetness on his pocket that was right near his junk.
Okay.
And it was, he goes, you never know who's going to come to your house, man. I had this mace in my pocket and the bottle exploded.
Oh no.
And I could see it. I mean, it was all over him and he was on fire
from
the waist down and was trying to get me out of his house so he could go in the shower. But he was too nervous to just go in the shower and let me get the stuff. And here I am going, oh, you work from home? Oh, that's really neat. Nice house. You got open floor concept. And he's like, get out. I've got mace like... all over me. So it ended up being a little less weird than I thought, but it was still weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, who wants to mace their groin? Ugh.
I feel like you can't say that he was too nervous. Yeah, I'm back here too. I feel like he just turned around and came
out. He's like, is that guy back there?
I feel like you can't say he was too nervous to let the Craigslist stranger just walk around his house and take whatever he wanted by himself while he took a shower.
Well, I mean,
I think he made the right decision staying out in the staying out in the living room.
You want to get the shower as fast as possible, though. And he couldn't because I didn't know what was going on. And I think he was also too nervous to tell me what had happened because he thought, oh, this guy then could take advantage of me. So he was really in a pickle.
I see, yeah. You so might be putting... finally at the end, he came to trust you.
Yes, because I was clearly there.
You might be putting, clearly you were cool.
Right.
Yeah. You might be putting too much responsibility on yourself in this situation. This sounds like it was... this guy having a bunch of problems.
Were you offended at all?
Independent of you.
He thought he might need mace against you?
No, because he didn't know who I didn't, you know, we didn't have a conversation ahead of time. Look
how big and
strong
he
is. I work in radio. You may know me. You know, I mean, none of that was true at the time anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Would you be offended if someone had mace when you entered their home?
It would make me feel really weird.
Yeah, I think I would be more intimidated by them. Then they would be of me if I walked in and they were brandishing a self-defense weapon.
What if it was a lady?
I would feel like, just don't sell the vacuum. You know?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right, right.
Okay. That's a great point.
So
if you're
context
so worried,
matters.
Yeah, if you're so worried about dealing with a stranger that you've got like a weapon on you.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is...
you don't have to sell the
there's
vacuum.
There's a phrase that's real common on Facebook. It's called porch pickup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
right.
could just put... I mean, it was right there. You could just put it right outside the door. And the whole
I'm a big
solved.
Fan of meeting places. I've always done like a, you know, meet at a gas station where there's lots of cameras or whatever.
Yep.
I can't remember what I did.
I'll be the guy holding three shotguns because I'm terrified
and
of
it. And then if you mace yourself there, you could just get the fountain soda. And
then you just get the fountain soda. You just rush in and you go, what's the code to the bathroom? I maced myself in the groin.
Wonder how bad that is.
Probably pretty bad.
Think about how
probably
bad,
the
like,
worst thing imaginable.
Think about how bad Icy Hot is.
You've had that down there?
Yeah.
On purpose?
No. Just sometimes you use that. Like I had a hamstring injury.
No,
and you put it on there, and
that
then
is
it gets
not where your hamstring
and
is.
No, I know, but it gets on your underwear.
I had
underwear.
To find it first.
It gets on your underwear, or it gets on your jock strap, and then all of a sudden now you've got like a fire.
He's always talking about jock.
This is quite a story.
Let's say jock strap.
That's what it is.
Wait, now
it's what goes the where's the cup goes when you're a baseball player.
I got to clarify though. This
don't make
wasn't
us think
just,
about you putting Icy Hot on a jock strap.
This wasn't just
no,
a
it was
gentleman
on the leg, but,
who happened to accidentally spray himself in the groin. This whole canister had exploded all over him. So it wasn't just like, oh, let's do a little test here. Oh, my goodness, that's really something we could try tonight.
Was it 1,000 degrees in his house? How did it explode?
I don't know. That I didn't have time to ask.
Craig says, that's why Wheeler reproduces asexually.
Well, that's one of the reasons. It's also, you know, faster that way.
You're worried about the speed.
You're worried
of
about
children.
The expeditiously.
I don't have time for this.
Right now.
Hey, listen, if I want a kid, it's got to happen.
I want a kid now. What if I don't want one tomorrow?
Yeah.
Better just split off like a snail.
Yeah. Just like that. Exactly like that.
He goes, let's go.
I know the Icy Hot's involved somehow. It's I guess I'm just going to have to experiment.
It's the hidden ginger power.
I'm just going to have to rub it everywhere.
I'm just going
to
put it on my hamstring about 6 inches below my belly button.
Yeah, you guys obviously don't understand how pulling things up works.
You still talking about pants?
I thought that was what they called the hamstring.
It makes total sense.
It makes total sense.
You guys are gross.
I'm sorry, I forgot you were here.
Clearly. There's also thousands of people listening.
Oh, that's an exaggeration.
also immortalized on the internet forever. Because I don't know how to take anything off of YouTube.
I stand by it.
Here's your next reels.
Oh, man.
What are you expecting me to carry this now? I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah, take over.
Annie is so disappointed.
It's all you, buddy.
We were going to take off, and we were just going to kind of leave
like,
it
I just
to you.
Got you de-glovered.
How is Wiggins America going?
The show is going well. The segment that I do on Annie's show and Mark's show is I think, kind of fun. But my show is just such a weird, you know, just doing a weekend show by yourself. It's such a completely different dynamic.
It's very different.
Than sitting in a room with you guys and talking. You know, it's so much easier to have people. You've always said this, Clover.
Oh, God, yeah.
That if you have a team of people who are able to just kind of bring life in and talk about it, it's so much easier than just going solo.
Dude, I did my first 6 months alone in a room. I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. I had no radio experience. And I was kind of doing this, like, in a real, you know, like, rudimentary way. And I'd just be like, set up, joke. Okay.
No response. Yeah, it's weird because you just can't do the show the same way.
No.
And you have that lane. So you're not going to be like, oh, I'll do a different kind of show. Like, you're right. Like, no, this is what I do.
This is what I do.
Yeah, but when you're alone, man, and it's just, I mean, we have the benefit, I think, of being on 97.1 and just, you can just rip the headlines. I mean, you can just talk about what's happening, give your opinion on it. That's typically what I do, at least when I'm alone. But it's so much easier to have people around you that you can just banter with, whether it's serious or not. I mean, you can have real serious discussions. Yeah. You know this too. I mean, you guys go all over the place. So
yeah, I was Glenn Beck's fill-in guy for probably 5 or 6 years. And the rule was when I would fill in for him on his national show with literally a million people listening, that no one else could crack the mic. Just me. And I'm not that guy. I'm not Sean Hannity. I'm not Rush Limbaugh.
His rule was just you.
Just me.
Hmm?
You could have guests, though.
I could have guests, but
couldn't
have...
Right, but like your producer couldn't talk.
No.
Right.
No one else could talk.
Why was that? Just because of his format? You have to keep it kind of clean?
I think so.
Was it hard?
No, I don't think it's so much clean. I think it was just...
Consistent.
Consistent.
Yeah,
people
he wanted it to sound
Glenn
the same.
Yeah. Monologuing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess if you tune in and there's lots of people laughing like we were just wearing our jock straps, you'd be like, oh, that's a little different type of show.
Exactly.
Okay. I remember when you filled in for Kilmeade.
Boy, do I. I do, too.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. The first thing I said was, bad news, Brian Kilmeade got fired from Fox.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, that's total vintage Dave.
He was joking.
And, just joking.
And people melted down.
They're like,
melted down.
So I got to ask, because I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
90% sure I know the answer. That was the only time you ever hosted?
Never got asked back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Never got asked back.
Did they ever say anything?
No, I remember when I saw Brian the next time, I brought it up, and he sort of awkwardly like, oh, I didn't know about that. Then I tried to take a picture with him where I laid my head on his chest, and he physically shoved me away. And he's like, I can't be in a picture like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, like a gay picture? And he's like, no, just a frivolous picture. And I'm like,
really?
Oh, you don't like frivolity, huh?
I have one.
Gay frivolity.
That's weird, because I have one. Where Kilmeade has his hand on my chest.
See?
And I tried to push him away.
And then you reach for your mace, and we were back at square one.
Right. You stay right where you are, Ryan Wiggins. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Our buddy Ryan Wiggins hanging out with us for another segment. Because I know this kind of drives you crazy, but there's an article today that all of the purveyors of AI believe that chatbots are now conscious and that they are doing all of these deep tests to try to determine whether they are or not. And the interesting part of the article I read to me was, they don't necessarily want them to be. It's kind of like, oh, I think the horse is out of the barn. So they believe, Altman and all these guys, that the chatbots are conscious way ahead of what they thought they would be.
Yeah, I think they're full of crap.
That goes against the Wheeler gospel, though. because you are always fighting with Andrew and saying, oh, so I guess we're just not going to believe the experts now.
Well, they have a vested interest in making us think that. Some of the AI people, and I'm hearing this from people that are really, really smart, that study science and study how this is going, that believe that a lot of the AI people are just snake oil salesmen. They're selling people on these ideas to pump up their stock, and they get all this money, and we still don't know if it's even working. Like one of the, I mean, like the study we just heard, I forget which were, I think it, I can't remember. It was like a 3 or 4 country study that shows that AI is getting dumber because it's now learning from fake AI stuff too. So it's not able to differentiate between fake nonsense AI created stuff and real stuff. So it's just meshing the two. So it's getting dumber as it goes.
Rach?
Yeah, I'm seeing that researchers can't fully explain how these systems internally operate, but that doesn't necessarily mean consciousness.
No,
right, right.
And I'm actually looking at this article on International Business Times that was published today that says, like, researchers do broadly agree that the chatbots do not possess emotions. They do not possess self-awareness. I read a really interesting article earlier this week entitled "Your AI Chatbot is a Sociopath," basically making the case of you don't want to take personal advice or take it too seriously when it comes from a being that doesn't feel.
Right.
Because it is essentially like receiving advice from a sociopath. They cannot, this thing can mimic you, it can mirror you, it can make you feel good because it knows these certain tricks, but it doesn't have emotions and therefore doesn't understand the nuance of, you know, what makes us human. I think, I don't know if artificial intelligence will ever actually feel emotion. That is a human experience. I don't know how you create that in a machine. And if you believe in like souls and things like that, it's like saying like, oh, it has a soul now. Like, no, because we can't explain where the soul comes from.
I feel like I've had most of my advice from sociopaths.
I'll tell you what. I'm really interested in what Kevin Wheeler was just talking about, these guys being snake oil salesmen. I have never heard anybody put it that way, but they're so much smarter than we are. They could be just making this stuff up and saying, oh yeah, it's way beyond.
I don't
want to
burst your bubble, but this is the same man who thought his wiener was his hamstring.
No, I'm going to demonstrate during the break how this works.
GGS and KMOX 335. Mitch, welcome back to the stream. Brace yourself, my boy. Dave Murray is off today and tomorrow.
Man, oh man, Mitch.
Said he was fed up with the stream.
He's like, they were pissing me off.
No, his grandson is in town, so we have a live look, Rach.
Mm-hmm.
Could not be with you live today, but wanted to give you an update on our weather as we get set to go into the holiday weekend. Obviously, the dome of summer is locked in place. It's sitting almost right over the Midwest, but we'll start to leak a little bit to the east over the next couple of days. But changes in our weather are going to be very, very slow to take place. So what we had today is what we're going to have again tomorrow, 98 on Thursday. The record's 101 from 1933. So again, we're short of records, but there's no question about it. This is a solid heat wave. Clear skies Thursday night. We are talking 90 degrees during the evening, 78 for the low. Now, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as that dome of high pressure slides a little bit to the east, we're going to get a little push of more moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. So that could pop an afternoon or evening thunderstorm. Very isolated in nature, but if you were to get under one, it would produce some very heavy rain, some thunder and lightning, and then either fall apart or just move on, not lasting very long. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, otherwise, it's sunny, hot, hazy, and humid, and 95 each day. Now, you typically have a buildup of haze in this situation, but we're also seeing some dust come at us from Africa. It's coming right across the equator and coming into the Midwest. So if it seems a little extra hazy to you, that's probably the reason why, at least a little more hazy than a typical summer afternoon. It's all in the upper atmosphere. You're not going to really feel the effect on the ground level. It's way up high. The biggest thing we might see out of it is some pretty nice sunsets or sunrises with that added haze in the atmosphere. So summer is here. No question about it. It's going to continue right through the holiday weekend. I'll be with you live tomorrow. See you then.
That's brought to you by the Seliga Weather Desk. How about that African dust in the air?
Yeah.
That is neat.
Kind of crazy.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Carter Report is brought to you by Rawlings. Go to the Rawlings Experience at Westport. We had Lindsay on yesterday who runs the place, and it is super, super cool. So next time you're anywhere near Westport, stop in the Rawlings Experience. Wheels, we'll get into the team, but I have a goofy Dave question for you.
All right.
If you could protect one current player over, say, the next 5 years, forget about trades, forget about what they're worth, you just want to keep this one player, who are you building around?
J.J. Weatherholt. I think he's just going to be the same guy every year. That's just how he's built. You know, he doesn't have the power ceiling that Jordan Walker has, but I think his floor is what we're seeing right now. Like, mm-hmm. This is going to be his baseline. Because he's better. I think he's even better than what we've seen. I think he's going to continue to get better than even what we see so far. And he's already one of the best second basemen in baseball. But he plays up the middle. He could play short. He's a great base runner, great defender, has power, gets on base. I mean, like, it's hard. That kind of guy is hard to find because those guys that basically have no pulse, right, they're always kind of flatline. They're always cool. They're always going to be consistent. Those are really hard players to find.
He's not known for his speed, although that catch he made yesterday in foul territory, man, he covered some ground.
Who, JJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can run, man. I mean, he's not like, see, this is the thing about JJ. He doesn't have one physical skill that blows you away, right? He doesn't have a very good arm. He doesn't have arm strength, but he's accurate. He throws the, it goes where he wants it to go. Mm-hmm. But that's why he's a second baseman, because he doesn't have a great arm. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's above average in speed. Mm-hmm. He's not the biggest power hitter, but he's got power. He's going to hit 25 home runs as a rookie this year. And that all-around balanced game. And again, I still think there's another gear that he's going to find. I mean, I think in the next couple years, by the time he's 25, 26, he's going to be even better than he is right now.
If his second half of the season is pretty much identical to the first half, where does he stand in the Rookie of the Year running?
Oh, one of the favorites. Yeah, right there at the top. I mean, you know, it's all about voting, so you don't know for sure, but I mean, he'd be one of the top two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Did Libby do enough last night to get some heat off him?
He was good last night, and it was, you know, there was a notable change. And look, I mean, here's the frustrating thing about Libertor. What we finally saw them do last night was change how he uses his pitches. So normally the pitch that he throws the most is his four-seam fastball. Well, it's a bad pitch. It's been getting crushed all year. Last night he threw more breaking balls and changeups than fastballs. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he had success. This is something that Bernie and Matt and Tom and Ron and all of us have something I've been talking about with Libertor since the winter, because his fastball's always been bad. And we've been talking about it, like, why isn't he throwing more curveballs, more sliders, more changeup? Why is it not flipped? Why is he throwing the bad pitches more often than the good pitches? And last night you saw a change. So what I don't know yet is how much of that was the fact that Herrera was catching, because Herrera doesn't normally catch Libertor. So he had a new catcher who maybe saw things a little differently and decided to call it a little differently, and he just rolled with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the catcher. I don't know if it was the team telling him, look, we got to change this, man, because what we're doing ain't working, or if it was just the player finally realizing, okay, I need to do this differently.
So you and I had this conversation last night over text, and there'll probably be an unpopular opinion, and I will give it a preamble and say that I love Herrera as a player. I he seems like a great teammate. I love his energy. I love his attitude. I love his bat. I don't love his catching. You've forgotten more about catching than I'll ever know. But from the way, through my eyes, we shouldn't have a catcher who's that not good on the big league team. And so unless he can play another position, or unless he's good enough for the Cardinals to say, we don't care that you're, you know, 24 years old, you're going to be the designated hitter. I just don't see, if this is what he's going to do the next couple of seasons, I just don't see it.
I don't think he's a catcher, like a full-time catcher. I don't have a problem with it if it's once or twice a week, which it's a little bit more than that right now because it's twice every 5 days. If it was once or twice every 7 days, I would feel a little bit better about it. But, he, you know, he's catching the same guys over and over again. There's two parts to it. I understand why they want this to happen. It's better for the player because if the player has a position, he's going to be more valuable as a, for his career in terms of earnings. Guys that are DHs by the time they're in their mid-20s don't tend to make a lot of money. But if he can be a catcher at least part of the time, it helps that. It also enhances his trade value if you ever want to trade him. If you can sell to another team, look, we know he's more of a hitter than a catcher, but you can catch him a couple days a week. That can also enhance his value if you end up wanting to go down that path. So there is a benefit to it. The problem with it is the visible, tangible, measurable parts of catching are what he's bad at. Okay. I think he seems to be pretty good at calling a game, and he's really good at the challenges, at the ABS challenges. He's one of the best at challenging pitches and being right. So he's good at certain things strategically, but as we saw last night, he's challenged when it comes to blocking. He's probably the worst throwing catcher in baseball at this point. At least of any catcher that catches regularly, he's probably the worst throwing catcher. I mean, if you look at the number that's called caught stealing above average, he's in the first percentile, which means 99% of catchers in the major leagues are better than him at throwing out runners. Mm-hmm. So there are clear, visible, obvious weaknesses. And that makes it really hard to understand that he also has strengths. Right? Because those strengths are not going to be measurable by the naked eye. Because we don't know, like last night with Liberatore, I don't know how much of that was Herrera just having a better feel for Libby than Pages has or than Crooks has, or if that was the team that decided that and that was just the game plan going in. But he is very good at the challenges and at reading hitters and things like that, at least based on observations. But there's no thing that measures it. But what all of us can really see, right? What we see are all the balls that get away from him.
Yeah.
What we see are all the guys that just steal without even a chance at throwing them out. So I agree, like long term, he's not a real catcher. He can be an occasional catcher. But at this stage, I'm okay with very limited options. But you can see at times he's going to get exposed. It's going to happen.
It's 3:44. This time check is brought to you by Paramount Men's Medical Center.
Back DGS on KMOX 3:51. We have the think tank coming up at the top of the hour. We have two of our favorites. We have Representative Ian Mackey and we have Dennis Hancock from the county. Lots of stuff to talk about locally and nationally. Wheels, one more baseball thing.
Sure.
I know that our buddy Wilson Contreras is going through it with the earthquakes in Venezuela.
Yep.
He's a very emotional man. I do not hold that against him. But he's having a week, ejections and fighting pitchers. And just what do you make of it?
Well, I mean, he's definitely over the edge. But he's, you know, here's the thing. You already have a guy that was an emotional player. Right. So he'd get offended by things. We saw that here.
Yeah.
He was that way with the Cubs. I mean, it's kind of his personality and it's been extra lately. He's from Venezuela. So for people that don't know, I mean, you know, a lot of his friends and family members have been overwhelmed by the earthquake and all of the fallout. And I'm sure he's lost people, you know, and all of that. So he's been a little extra this week. And yesterday, though, I'm not so sure he was wrong. Did you hear what the pitcher said to him?
I did not.
So it came out, like, you could hear it on the audio, and the Red Sox broadcasters caught it, and it's been kind of floating around now, where the pitcher for the Washington Nationals, Cade Cavalli, when he struck him out, yelled at him, "Sit down, boy."
Yikes.
Okay, so, like, sit down if he had stopped, no big deal. When you add the boy to the end of that, whether you're thinking of it in a terms, you know, because it's got racial connotations. Even if you take that out, that is a wildly disrespectful way to talk to another grown man.
Yeah.
If you did that to someone on the street, you're probably going to run into an issue.
You just did a yim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yim.
So I feel a little differently about that thing last night, knowing that that's what was said. And the player, and Cavalli, after the game, apologized and said he's going to take that out of his vocabulary. That was a mistake. It was wrong. Said he feels terrible about it. He's going to reach out to Contreras about it. So there was some animosity because Contreras, the night before, pimped a home run. Mm-hmm. Right? He hit a home run, flipped his bat, took his time. And there's some that's where the edge started. And it'd be one thing if the pitcher just yelled at him, go sit down. That's competitiveness. The minute you start getting into the personal with that reference to boy, I think almost every player would have been pissed about that. Not just Contreras. But Contreras is probably going to be in some trouble because he threw a helmet. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you're going to start an argument or if you're going to be yelling at someone. But when you throw a helmet in someone's direction, you're going to be in trouble. But I think it changes the context, doesn't it?
It certainly does for me.
Right. And I think most of baseball, last night, the first reaction in the baseball world was, oh, boy, Wilson's just, he's over the edge. He's kind of, and he is. I mean, that's a reality at the moment because he's already, as we talked about, he's already emotional. And then you add the stuff going on in Venezuela to it. He's been even more so. That's not an excuse, by the way. You still got to control yourself. But I think that's pretty disrespectful. And yeah. I don't know anybody that has said that Cade Cavalli in any way meant that when it comes to the racial overtones. But
I'm glad he owned it.
But when you say that, even if you didn't mean it that way, that is incredibly disrespectful.
Yes.
He owned it. So I give him credit. He owned it. He's basically saying, I screwed up. I won't say that kind of thing again. And I'm going to talk to Contreras about it.
Good.
So, yeah.